Good morning. Yeah. My name is Richard Caliendo. See? Well, can do anyway. And I've been known as many different aliases. You see, Diane and I go into four prisons. Three of them are maximum security prisons. And so, you know, I have a couple of aliases. Ricardo Caliente, Vito Ravioli, the Sermonator, or just plain Rich. And I'd like to welcome you here today. If you're here for the first time, I don't know if you've got our little packet that we give our visitors, but make sure that before you leave, you speak to somebody about that. The reason why we're switching the schedule around, by the way, is that Diane and I have to leave for Shuanggang Prison in Wokhill to do their Sunday service. And we need to be at the gate by 1, so we're going to be really flying through the message and driving. I guess we really got to get there quick. I'm going to have Diane drive. When I pastored Resurrection Life Church, if I ever did something like that, the congregation would shout what? Anybody know?
Red Lobster.
Okay, shout it loud.
Red Lobster.
Red Lobster. Crystal knows Red Lobster. And I would be required to take Diane out to Red Lobster, and so.
I have to.
Now I have to, I guess. Huh? She goes, go ahead and insult me. Go ahead. The reason why I even said that was this. Very soon we're going to be starting into small groups. Small groups to Diane and I are basically the key, the foundation in what we've found to be the strength of being able to be empowered to go out and share good news for Jesus Christ. For you see, I've come to learn, and I've learned it really well, that is, I do not have to work for my salvation. Is there anybody in here that has to work for their salvation at this point? Well, good, nobody raised their hand. At least nobody was admitting to it. You see, the point is that your salvation is secure when you've given your heart to Him. The reason why I work for Him is because I love Him so much. That He pulled me out of the same ditch that some of those guys in prison are in right now, currently. And so what I would like you to do is to understand that the small group is the place to which I have found my strength in Christ Jesus to be able to go out and preach good news or share good news. I prefer the word share because not too many people want to be preached at, but trust me. A whole lot of people in this earth and in this community in Kingston would love to hear the good news. Do you agree?
Amen.
Amen. I'd like you to open the Bible to...
Yeah.
Woo!
Hold on. Say it.
They weren't ready.
Okay.
Oh. I blew it, didn't I, guys? I love this thing. I can get the focal length right. I'd like you to open up to Ephesians. Ephesians 3. Diane did not know that this was the scripture I had on my sheet to lead off with. And she changed her opening scripture to this Ephesians 3 scripture. And she didn't even know that until this very moment because Diane was spoke in the first service. Diane's my wife, by the way. And she will be going with me today into Shuanggang. Verse 14 of chapter 3 of Ephesians. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all of the saints to grasp how wide, long, and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that you would have your way in this meeting right now, that we welcome you, Holy Spirit, have your way. And I would ask, Father, that you would place within us something that would cause good fruit from us as we go forth in this community to share your good news. I thank you, Lord, that you will anoint what I say to accomplish all that you've called me to do. In Jesus' name, amen. The small groups that we're about to begin, actually the small groups will actually begin the 24th and 25th of April. Mid-April is the starting point of the small groups or home meetings, or kinships, as they once were called in this house. You can't believe, or you wouldn't be able to comprehend if I was to just give you five miracle stories of home meetings, it wouldn't even be come close to sharing with you the fullness of what God has done in our lives in small groups. When I came to give my heart to the Lord in 1980, I first got a love for the Word of God and for Jesus Christ himself. For you see, there cannot be a separation between the two in my book. Because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Who was the Bible talking about when they said the Word became flesh and dwelt among us? Jesus. So the Word and Jesus, in my estimation, is inseparable. And the home meetings, the small groups, were places where we started to meet together. And I've got this excitement for the Word of God that by 1986, I found myself in Virginia Beach after selling my house, selling my car, selling my possessions in order to be able to go to school full time to be in the Word of God in the prime time of my day. I sold everything in order to do that by 1986. Because I had this hunger, this yearning to get more of the Word, more of the love of Christ. And you know what? All the years that I sat in a church, I didn't experience the love of Christ until I experienced it in the small groups. Because I found out that it's not about religion, it's about relationship. You can take all the religious traditions and it wouldn't have amounted to this much in my life. And then all of a sudden, I found out that the home meetings and the small groups fostered within me a love for relationship that couldn't be attained in sitting in a seat on Sunday mornings. That you actually had to interact with people to actually experience the love of Christ. Do you know what I mean? If you want a physical hug from Jesus, what do? I'm sorry? Hug somebody. I am telling you that community is the only way that we can get out of a me-itis syndrome. Okay? This concept of me is something that we've developed in us since birth. When you want to be... I'm Italian. I'll smack the mic whether it's here or here. We're Italian. The book of Malachi. Never mind. I don't know. when you were a little kid, you're an infant. When you wanted food, what'd you do? Yeah, I want this, I want it. Okay. When you needed your diaper changed, what did you do? Wah, yeah, very good, you got it down. Hey, I need my diaper changed. I need to be fed. I need to be fed. Has anybody ever heard a Christian do that? Don't raise your hand. I need. And what God wants this church, this house, this group of people that meets, that calls themselves, and God wants to turn us upside down. So we're going to have a me concept, and we're going to turn it upside down and have a we concept. Okay, everybody get that paradigm in your mind right now? Everyone will be going from a me idea to a we idea. Because corporately, we're going to do many, 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 many times more than what we could possibly do individually. It's scientific fact. And no, I'm not going to string anybody up. In Ecclesiastes, it says a threefold cord is what?
Not easily broken.
This is a threefold cord. In other words, if I was to unwrap it, how many?
Three.
There's three there. Scientific fact, if each one of those cords can hold 1,000 pounds, how much should this rope technically hold? 3,000. But science says what? This will hold 5,000. Want to know why? Synergy. You were listening 2 weeks ago when the pastor was speaking, weren't you? Synergy and the forces placed upon each other will actually cause this rope to hold more than the total of the weight of each of the cords separately. Is that the same way that Christ established his church here on earth? The scripture that I'm going to state right now is, if one can put 1,000 to flight, two. Oh, so you know the scripture. So why aren't we working together more? I don't know. We will be. Amen? Okay, we will be.
Amen.
Good. The Ephesians scripture that we read, if you were to take a look at verse 18, yeah, that's good, man. I love it. May have power, how? Together. Have power together. Now, this is the New International Version. Can somebody read verse 19? Maybe you can put it up, verse 19 of Ephesians 3. In King James? I'll give him a chance to catch up here. As we're waiting for the Ephesians scripture, turn back to Acts 1. Okay, here we go. Well, you can keep your finger on Acts 1 because we're going to go there. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. 18, sorry. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, and depth, and the height. It's seeing God's power in our midst, together, all the saints with all the saints. In Acts 1, chapter 1, Jesus said these words. It was his last words here on earth. Acts 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit. But you still receive what?
Power.
When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will receive what?
Power.
Okay. I was introduced into Christianity with power. The day that I received the Lord into my heart, I was also baptized into the Holy Spirit. And that day that we also prayed, Diane and I, together as a married couple in 1980, we also prayed for my dad, who was told he had stage 4 cancer. It had metastasized into all of his organs. And Sloan Kettering in New York City was telling him he had 2 months to live. He lived 22 years after that day. I just praise God for it. 8 months before that, my sister was involved in a head-on collision. She was in one of those Herbie Bugs. Volkswagen Beetle. A Herbie Bug. Volkswagen that had the engine in the back. Now when they make them, they put the engine in the front. She had nothing protecting her, and as she was driving to my dad's house on his birthday with lobster that they were going to share, somebody came over double yellow line around a corner doing about 60 miles an hour and hit her head on. She was in the hospital, and she was broken from head to toe. And the only real serious life-threatening break was in her third cervical vertebra in her neck. And 1 week later, the doctors took x-rays, and the break was gone. That was my introduction to the body of Christ. So now when I see somebody that's ill, what do you think is the first thing that I'm going to want to do?
Pray.
Simply believe that God wants us to live an abundant life. The place to be able to see the power of God working together is in small groups, where we can cry together and we can play together and we can laugh together. And we can laugh together, and we can laugh together, and we can have relationship. Because Jesus said, all the law is fulfilled in two things. Love God above all, and love your neighbor as yourself. And that's what we do when we be coming together with our small groups. You see, as it is stated in Ecclesiastes 4:9, a threefold cord is not easily broken. Neither is the power of relationship in home meetings that will see changes in your life. You see, there's many things that we can do in our small groups. And as you're led by the Holy Spirit, you may do some worship before God. I received my master's degree in biblical studies and theology in 1986. And by 1992, I was senior pastor of a church. And one morning I was opening up a can. I don't even know what can it was. And I went to go rip off the lid. It still had a little bit connecting. What do you think happened to my hand? I sliced my hand. And what I did was, wrapping it like this, I mean, I would literally have to put something in the palm of my hand because every time you move your hand, it would open the wound. So I just got a couple of what my dad used to call butterfly stitches. I just made it out of a piece of adhesive tape, and I had put a couple of them on my hand. And I'm getting to church, and I pray for people all the time. And I'm thinking, how in the world could I possibly ever pray a prayer over someone and lay hands on somebody with this wound? And I remembered the words that I had preached even just a couple of weeks prior to that, and that is that worship softens your heart to be able to receive from Him. And so I just figured I got to get everything out of my head. I got to just forget about the fact that I just slipped my hand open, and I have to just kind of swallow my pride and just start praising God. I had shown the wound to a teenager right before service started. And the teenager was like, ooh, I don't want to look at that. By the end of worship time, this teenager took a look at my hand as I was worshiping God, because I love to raise my hands in worship and praise before Him. And I looked at my hand, and he saw me looking at it, and we couldn't believe our eyes. there was a faint hint of a wound, but the wound was totally healed. Pulled off butterfly stitches, and it was like, that's cool. Do you think that's possible for us here, right now, today? Are the miracles for the time that Jesus walked on this earth? I do believe that together with the saints, we're going to see how wide and how high our God is together in home meetings. Matthew 18, 19, and 20. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19 and 20 states the following. Again, I tell you, if two of you agree on touching anything about what you're asking for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. Where two or three come together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And I do believe he hears our requests and answers them. But you see that Ephesians scripture states something that will change your paradigm or thought process. And that is, it says in verse 24 of Ephesians 3, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work in us. Whoa, wait a second. I thought it had to be God going, I think I'll heal him. No. We're not going to heal him. We're not going to heal him. I want a paradigm shift here. God wants us healed. And without any pressure, because I was part of that name it and claim it, blab it and grab it generation of Christians. And unfortunately, it put a lot of guilt on people and it put a lot of pressure on people. Well, why aren't you still healed? Well, sometimes we don't understand. But one thing I do know, that God is in the healing business. And that when we come together in love, love conquers not most, all. And when we come together in love, mighty, powerful things will happen. You see, when we come together in a small group, we may start to just simply worship God. Does it matter what it sounds like? Not necessarily, because it says to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And I've worked with you, brother, my brother Tony. I want to shake your hand. You see, there's a difference between praise and worship. See, I'm praising Tony right now because he's been a real, there's no words to describe it.
Italian?
A real Italian. Well, you're from Brooklyn. What do you want, Tony? We've worked very well together. That might be part of it, but you see, that's not really part of it because it's the love of Christ. Because I don't really think I would like you if it wasn't a Christian.
Ditto.
Actually, it's not what I meant to say. I said that on purpose, but I said it for emphasis. Point is, I would have never met Tony if it wasn't for the fact. And if there's a man in this church that I can trust, it's Tony. And if I've got a problem, man, I'm going to come to him. And I'm going to praise him for what he's done for me in my life. Thank you, Tony.
Thank you.
But I'm not going to worship him. Do you see the difference between worship and praise here? So now we're going to come together to not only praise God for what he's done for us, but also to simply worship him for who he is. He's the creator of the universe, and we're coming together, and we're gathering in his name, and where two or more are gathered in his name, what? There he is in the midst of us. And we can come boldly to the throne room of grace and receive what? Mercy and in a time of need. We can come boldly and with confidence into his throne room. Why? You couldn't do that outside of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because you couldn't get into the presence of God. Now we're coming together. One puts 1,000 to flight, 2 10,000. And we're coming together to just simply see God manifest in our midst. There's a scripture that says, and Joshua said to his people, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Will do wonders among you. That's a scripture from Joshua 3, Verse 5. The Lord will do wonders among you. Now, it's interesting, but it says sanctify yourself. How are we sanctified? By the blood of Jesus. So you're sanctified? Guess what, brother? The Lord is going to do wonders among us. How are you sanctified, Paul?
By the blood of Christ.
By the blood of Christ. He's going to do some wonderful things, man. You're going to find work that you're going to... Oh. Brother, this is a word of the Lord.
Oh, I got hard.
Oh, yeah. I know you had the interview on Wednesday. You see, when you come together, you start to know each other. You start to pray for one another's needs. And then all of a sudden, you start thanking God. Woo, he did it again. Yeah. Don't know how you did it, but you did it. Now I'm going to tell you about my boys. These boys are miracles of God. My sons, my two sons, Joshua, I was going to say Caleb, but no, Rick. I really don't have time. I tell you the story of how Rick got his name, but Diane woke up in the middle of the night, sat right up in bed, and she goes, God told me what name we're going to name our child. And I'm like, yeah, okay, why? Whatever. She goes, Richard. She goes, I don't like the name Richard, but... And I'm laying there half asleep going, she doesn't like the name Richard. She married Richard. But God said we can call him Ricky. And then she immediately... And then she said, Ezra, middle name after her grandfather. And then she literally, I mean, like, eyes wide open to... And I'm like, now my eyes are wide open like this. You see, we were unable to have kids. And adopting in this country, in this day and age, is a very hard thing to do if you're going to see or adopt infants. And yet I can stand today with pictures of my two sons. Diane calls this my three sons. They're both adopted. We adopted Josh in 1983 as an infant. And it was a real struggle for us. Because the church that we were going to was something kind of like this, where everybody around you is having babies and you're not. That's a hard thing to do. That's a hard thing to go through. Guess where we found the strength to be able to go through? In home group. In small group. Thank you. He's listening. I'll give you the $20 later, Tony. $35. Okay. Inflation. In 3 minutes, it went up. Now, this son, Joshua, his birth mother, unfortunately, was a drinker, and she was drinking a lot when he was in the womb, and the doctors told us that he will and suffers from fetal alcohol syndrome, and there's nothing you can do about it except for just simply love him when he's doing those things like putting baseball bats into doors and walls and whatever. Love conquers all. And with the help of our friends in home meetings and small groups, guess where we got the strength to be able to go on? It was in those small groups. In the year 2000, this son, I mean, it would have been more dramatic if I told you the story first, but this son got involved in a New York City gang. I was in Coxsackie Prison ministering to guys, and It was actually, as we were sleeping, it was a four days. Actually, you start on Thursday night in a Kairos weekend. By the way, here's the commercial. If you want to get involved with Kairos Ministry, see Jack Skerritt or Gary Whitaker. You can raise your hand if you'd like to, if you're a male anyway, and be involved in a ministry like that. Please see him. And I was in that prison when I got word that my son Josh was jumped into a gang. Now, a New York City gang is, it's a serious thing, because in order to get jumped into a gang, you either have to commit a felony or have a felony committed against you. He chose the latter, and they used razor blades on him. And so I'm telling you this only because I don't know what went wrong in our lives around 2000. Our finances were terrible. Diane had diabetes so bad that the insulin that she was injecting to the maximum amount wasn't working. My son Josh got involved in that gang, and my life was a total disaster. Where do you think I found the strength to go on? I had brothers and sisters that came right alongside of me, and they gave me the strength needed to be able to go out into the street and to be praying by name the gang members in the house that my son was staying at, even to the point of threats. I'm going to tell you straight away that Diane goes, we're going to go out and we're going to roll the windows down. It was in March. And we're going to roll the windows down and we're just going to pray out loud as we can with words of blessing to the gang members that we knew their names. And to make a long story short, what the prisoners at Coxsackie were telling me is impossible, I was believing it was God who would be able to get my son out of a gang. Now, believe me when I say it's a heck of a lot easier getting into a gang, even if they use razor blades on you, than getting out of a gang. Because to get out of a gang, you're either going to die or be seriously maimed for life. And so I don't have time again. I'll be finishing in 5 minutes, and that's a hard fast thing because I have to be at Chuangunk at 1 o'clock. But this young man got involved in another gang that speaks of integrity and of honor. Three years after we adopted Rick, we were on a list, an adoption list, for, it was Syracuse Evangelical Adoption Agency. We were on this list for the full 3 years. As soon as we adopted Josh, we put our name on the next list. It would be at least, they told us, 5 years before we would be able to adopt another child. They also told us that if we left the state, our name would immediately come off the adoption list, and that would be the end of it. In 1986, God spoke to me and said, I want you to sell everything you have, your possessions, including your house, and I want you to spend the prime time of your day in the Word of God. And I said, but Lord, and I realized, I can't use that with God. Because God knows what he's doing. Shake your head yes. Make like bobblehead dolls and oh me, oh my, anything. Amen. Whatever suits you, but just make a response here, okay? I don't want you to get too serious on me. Because this one has a really cool ending. So I agreed. Lord, okay, even though we're coming off this list, this is disaster. We've been waiting 3 years, and now we're going to come off the list. So we went to a home meeting. We went to a small group meeting, and that night we prayed. We prayed not with fear and trepidation, but we believed totally that night that we could come in and access the throne room of grace and mercy with boldness and confidence. And so we came in that night with boldness and confidence. And we thanked the Lord that he would do something miraculous in the 5 months before we were to leave for Virginia Beach. The next morning, the adoption agency director calls, I got this real strange thing happening here. I offered a child to 15 other couples that are before you on the list, and they all turned this child down. I didn't think that, you see, this woman, he said, wants the medical expenses to be paid for. And I didn't think that you could cover the cost of the medical expenses either. So we asked a few people on the other side of the list, and they turned us down. So we're coming to you. Would you like this child? And I'm like, ha ha! Yes, sir, yes. Figured I have to rob a bank, and then I caught my tongue because if you know what I mean. I had to stop the thinking, well, where am I going to get the money? Because if God can do that to the list, what could he do to the expenses of it? That's an easy one for God, isn't it now? Because I've seen supernatural provision beyond what you could ever imagine. As a matter of fact, when my dad did have that cancer, he went immediately on disability. So his paycheck was probably half of what it was. And for 1 year, he didn't work. And even though he was miraculously healed of the cancer, he didn't work for that year. And he had a freezer, which he had a lock on it, because he wouldn't want the grandkids to go climbing into this freezer. It was an impossibility anyway, because he figured the most efficient freezer is a full freezer. But he locked it anyway, and he had the keys always in his pocket like this, or he had the key to that thing in his pocket. And 1 year later, that freezer was just as full as it was. 1 year later, it was just as full as it was a year prior. We've seen God's provision in our midst. And so we accepted this child. We didn't have to rob a bank, but God provided the finances. Matter of fact, we've received over $1,000 just handed to us. Diane is saying about how the Lord has spoken to her about, you know, people just coming up to us and just handing us money. Praise God. It's all in his provision. Shaken down, pressed down, shaken together, shall men do what? Pour into your bosom, as the King James says. In other words, it'll be poured into you. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. And so we adopted this little girl who we called Amanda. In New York State, the birth mother has 1 month to change her mind. This mother, this birth mother, waived the 1 month and just said, no, I simply don't want my child going to a foster home. I want the child to go directly to the adoptive parents. So we brought Amanda in, and about a week and a half or 2 weeks after that, the mother changed her mind. So now we have our little daughter, Amanda, and guess what we had to do? We had to give her back. Who do you think helped us with the strength needed to be able to go through that? Don't you think that was probably like a sledgehammer hitting Diane right in the head? It was. I'm telling you, the only place that we could find comfort in that situation is in our small group. They got us through. The adoption agency probably felt sorry for us, so they put us on the list. But number one on the list. October 1st came, and we're thinking, this could be good because Diane's birthday is October 4th. October 2nd came and went. October 3rd came and went. 4th came and went. And now we're at October 5th. It's Saturday morning. Nobody's in the office now for sure. And still no word of a baby. So, I guess our child, we knew it was a boy because she had... I went to go pick up the phone to call the agency, just figuring I'll put a message on and just say, hey, what's up? You know, when is this child going to be born? And as I go to reach for the phone, guess what happens? Phone rings. It's the adoption agency, and the adoption agency says, you have a son. He was born October 4th. Diane started crying. It's her birthday. Toughest birthday gift any woman ever gave. And she wrote that in a note to us. A Christian girl, 16 years old, one-time mistake, chose to give us a son by the name of Rick. And that's Ricky. Good-looking kid, too. People think they take after me. He takes after me.
Well,
Hey. Yeah. Yeah, he was 8 years old. He got taller than me. But then so is most of the known world. Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I wish I had more time to share of your goodness. But then I realized, Lord, that it would take me literally a month of Sundays in order to be able to share all the miracles that you've done for me. I would ask, Lord, as this house prepares to meet in small groups, that you would just empower us to come together quickly and cohesively to accomplish all that you've asked us to do. And to be able to use these small groups in order to share the good news that we have in our hearts to the communities that we live in. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to just rip from us the me-itis attitude that we sometimes experience, and that we're going to come to our home groups, our small groups, with a we attitude, an attitude of together we can accomplish more than we could ever possibly dream. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.